is a presence.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. You are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. If you're listening to this program at 10:30, you're on WWBC 1510 or one of the corresponding frequencies there. You may also be listening at 5 o'clock, and if so, you are on WMIE 91.5 FM or one of the corresponding frequencies there. So we want to thank you. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are coming up here in just a couple of weeks on our 25th anniversary celebration. That's how long I've been there. When we first came to Merritt Assembly of God, our first Sunday, we had 10 people there. That included my wife, my two kids. And the next week we had 9. The next week we had 8. And that was the end of 1992. It was 52 degrees in there that first Sunday morning. And it was quite invigorating. When it's 52 degrees, you want to move around quite a bit. And I can still tell you the message that I preached that day without even having to look into my Bible for notes or anything like that. But that is a quarter of a century ago. It was the second Sunday in December. And we're coming up on 25 years of the district superintendent of the Peninsula Florida District of the Assemblies of God, Terry Rayburn, a tremendous man of God, a phenomenal preacher, and a dear friend of mine. He is going to be coming in, he and his wife, and they're going to be celebrating with us that day. And we would like to invite you out to that special service if you would like. We know many of you have church services, but there are so many churches that have multiple services, Saturday nights, Sunday mornings, mid mornings, late mornings, early afternoon. Some, you know, we have a Sunday morning service and we have a Sunday night service, but they are different services. But if you get an opportunity, we would love to have you come and be a part of it. We do consider the radio congregation of Merritt Assembly of God part of our extended family and part of our congregation. And many of you, I get comments from on Facebook or track comments on Facebook, and you know, pray with you when you have prayer requests that show up. And we would just be thrilled if you were able to come and introduce yourself and say hello. It would be a tremendous blessing to us. That will be on Sunday morning, December the 10th. So if you want to mark that on your calendars, you can. But we are studying the fruit of the Spirit. We talked yesterday on the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness, and we talked about how that was a goodness of God that is dependent upon our moral and let me go back here to the notes here. It is moral excellence and character or demeanor usefulness. It is employed. It has to do with manners and morals. It has to do with our moral compass. And God does deal with us in kindness, and we're very thankful for that. But the next word is translated goodness, the next fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And this word, when you look it up in the Greek dictionary, you will find that this word is, my Greek is not good. Nobody ever asked me to speak Greek. Agathosune, something like that. A-G-A-T-H-O-S-U-N-E. And listen to the definition of this, and then it will sound very, very familiar, but there is a distinction between the two. It is goodness. It is virtue. It is being good in character and constitution. It is a word that is used of God, that God is essentially, absolutely, and consummately good. This is a word that means that it is pleasing to God and morally honorable. And so when I looked up those words and realized how similar they were, I decided it needed a little bit more distinction than what I was seeing. And so I began to do some research and found that this particular aspect of goodness, this fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness, that is what we're talking about today, that it is something that is characteristic of people who've been born again. It is, God is good. Apart from Him, we cannot experience that manifest level of goodness. The difference between this word for goodness and the word we just talked about, translated kindness, is that this goodness is an aspect of goodness that can be more stern, not necessarily something that is always going to be pleasurable. Like, there are good and upright things to do, but they may not be enjoyable to the flesh. Some of you realize that getting up and going to work is a good thing to do, but it's not always what your body wants to do. Sometimes you want to sleep in. This is not just goodness as a quality, but it is goodness that is in action. The former word, the word that was represented as kindness, is a kind disposition to others, and it is a kind activity on their behalf. This word is kindness kindness that can be expressed in a disciplinary or a correctional manner. And so we'll try and talk about that just a little bit more as we go on. This word is used in Romans chapter 12. If you want to turn over there with me to Romans chapter 12, and you will begin to see just a little bit of this manifestation. In verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word good there is the same aspect that we're talking about, that you may be able to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It never says that it is going to be easy, but it will always be worth it. So this goodness is an aspect of the character of God that you can prove. You can test it. You can examine it. You can figure out if this is of God or not. And if I can bring in some personal experience to this, it may help just a little bit, because the goodness of God is not going to be something you're going to necessarily acknowledge because of the circumstances until you see the outcome. So one of the churches that I was serving at, I was on staff and I had done everything that I was supposed to do. I followed the pastor's directions. I represented him well. He told me that I did everything well, but they came to a situation and they were needing to make some staff adjustments, and they made me the adjustment, and they did not do it because of my performance because they told me you've done everything that you want. They did it because I had an internal drive that said, I'm going to work. I'm going to take good care of my family. And there were other people who just did not have that internal drive. And so he said, so I'm going to do that. So this was a decision that took me out of what was relatively full-time ministry at that point in time. It was horrible compensation, but God had called me into full-time ministry, and so I just always assumed that God was going to take care of us financially, and he has been very faithful to that through the years. So when that pastor, who is a dear, dear friend of mine to this very day, nowhere in Florida here, when he made that decision, it was a painful decision. I expressed that it was a painful decision. It did not feel good. But because of the decision that he made, it ended up positioning me for a promotion at the summer job that I got, which ended up positioning me for the transfer to Florida, or the new job that I got in Florida that came about as a complete and total surprise to me, which when I got that job resulted in a cut in pay, which a year and a half later, that company went out of business. Do you see there's a lot of things there that do not look good to the flesh? But each one of those activities caused me to demonstrate a level of faith and trust in God and faithfulness to the call that God had on my life. And each and every one of those steps were absolutely necessary to position me for when the district asked me to come and be the pastor of Merit Assembly of God back in 1992. If the pastor hadn't done that, I would not have had the connections that would have got me to Florida, that would have positioned me in the church that I served, which would have enabled me to demonstrate to district leadership the caliber of character that I had before God, and they would not have been so inclined to position me as the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. It didn't look enjoyable, but it was absolutely good. Not everything that we have had that has occurred at Merit Assembly of God has been something that was pleasurable. Things were quite painful at times, but you can look back in the rearview mirror and you can say, I know that my flesh lies, but the Spirit of God does not. And when he orders my steps and directs my path, whatever he does is going to be good. So continue on down to Romans chapter 12, and it says in verse number 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. And again, I will tell you, that doesn't say cling to what is easy. It doesn't say cling to what is pleasurable. It says cling to what is good. Hang on to it. Be firmly attached to it. The goodness, the caliber of good that God is calling to us to is something that we have to be committed to doing. And again, I like to give practical applications of the truths that I'm trying to share. And so many, many years ago, a dear friend of mine, I absolutely love this man like a brother, not just like a brother in Christ. I love him like a brother. He is a tremendous man of God and talented and knowledgeable. He works with our young people and just an absolute blessing to the body of Christ and to me. and I was having to work on my car. Now, you have to understand that I am a mechanic by necessity if I have to be, but I am not a mechanic by skill. So there are certain things that I know how to do, and I was working on this project, and it should have been something that I knew how to do, but there was a bolt or something that was being very, very stubborn, and I was just failing at this. And so I called him. He came over. He brought some tools with him, and literally, because he knew what to do and knew what tools needed to be done, within just 15 seconds or so, he had the process well underway, he just went ahead and took care of the problem. And then we were standing out there talking, and I remember that it was very close to dark. The sun was going down. There was still daylight, but it was a little dusky. And we are standing there talking. I don't remember if we were talking about the car, if we were talking about life, or if we were talking about the church. And all of a sudden, he reached up with his left hand, and he slapped me, which would have been on the left side of my face. Let's see, is that right? No, he slapped me on the right side of my face. And all of a sudden, he got this look on his face that, you know, was eyes wide open. It wasn't because we were having an argument. He just held his hand up, and there was mosquito residue on his hand. And I never flinched. I never shook my head or anything like that. He was just showing me, you know, there was a mosquito that was getting ready to bite you, and I took care of that. And I told him, I said, "Brother, I want you to know, I trust you. And if he ever reached up and slapped me on the face," now he didn't slap me hard, but if he ever did that to me, I would know there was a very good reason for it. I would know that if he just came up and blindside tackled me without me expecting it, I would fully expect that when I turned my head that I would find that there was a car that was getting ready to run over me. That's the type of person that he is. So he operated on my behalf. It wasn't pleasurable. And so there have been people through the years that they've drawn little mosquitoes on their hand and then come up and slapped me and held it up. And it's like, I can see the running ink there, dude. It's not the same thing. So do the goodness of God. Cling to it. Follow after it. Do not give up. And be zealous for the things that are good. Be zealous for the things that are good. Let's look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse number 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil to evil, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." When I think of the term pursue, I'm not thinking of a casual stroll. I'm not thinking of just a meandering around, hoping you're going to find. I believe that the word pursue means a deliberate, intentional chasing after something with as much speed as you can have so as to apprehend it. Okay? It's not like dogs on a dog track where they're chasing a mechanical rabbit they're never going to catch. This is a pursuit of things that God does want you and I to apprehend, and that is a goodness that may not always be pleasurable, but it's always going to be beneficial, not just for me, but for everybody. And so I firmly believe that we need to have the mindset that gets beyond just our own self-interest and begins to operate on a community type level. There are a lot of things that I do that are good for other people, but they're awfully fatiguing on my flesh. You know, there are times that I just want to sleep. And then there are other people, and they might have quote unquote good intentions, but they don't have the ability in their flesh. That's why this is called a fruit of the Spirit. You can't muster this up in your flesh. It's got to be something that is written on the tablets of your heart, and it's changed your heart so that you want to do this. There is a big difference between having to do something and wanting to do something and getting to do something because it's a privilege. There are people say, well, my parents made me go to church when I was young. Well, they also made you brush your teeth. If you stop doing that, I just always like to point that out. They made you take a shower. They made you put on deodorant. They made you comb your hair, all of those sorts of things. Those mean old parents that did everything that kept your teeth from rotting out of your face because you probably didn't want to brush your teeth. And so, I'm sorry, I just don't buy into, well, I've got to reject it because my parents made me do it. My parents made me get out of bed, too. They made me go to school. They made me do a lot of things. I'm not going to reject all of those things. I realize now that they were trying to instill in me a habit that was good for me. So forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even more so as the day approaches, are we supposed to assemble together? That's not something that I have to do. That is something that I want to do. It's good. And as the darkness of this world seems to be rising in influence, and the day of the Lord's appearing draws closer and closer and closer, I tell you what, I want the body of Christ. I want it more at the end of my journey than I did at the beginning of my journey. So it is something that is to be zealous. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. It's right after the book of James. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 13. And it says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" It is something that is supposed to be imitated. You and I, we need to be living this out because there are eyes watching. We live in a world where this goodness, this absolutely, let me remind you of the definition, this goodness that is manifest in God, that is pleasing to Him, it is morally honorable, it is getting harder and harder to find in America in 2017. You and I, we need to be looking for that goodness of character. I don't have time to chase this particular rabbit right now on this broadcast, but I will tell you this. Whenever you reject the definition of goodness and holiness and the standards of morality that God has prescribed in His Word, whenever you reject that, whenever you attempt to redefine it, what you have opened the door for is you have opened the box of chaos. Because you have set yourself up as the definer, and then your neighbor is going to reject your definition, and he's going to try and redefine it yourself, and everybody has a definition, and pretty soon you have a society where everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes, and that means that there are going to be people who are victimized and pay the price because we have rejected the standard of God's Word. Let's imitate what is good, and I'm going to give you one more verse here because I just want you to understand that goodness is not something that you need to pass over on the buffet table of life. 3 John, verse number 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. And that's the verse for the last one. Let me see if I can find the other verse that I'm looking for here just real quick. But the verse that I'm looking for, and I evidently did not write that reference down, I apologize, is that you overcome evil with good. You overcome evil with good. People, we are instructed to live our lives in such a manner that if people make an accusation against us, that people would look at our character and they would reject the accusation because it does not line up with a long-standing practice of doing what is good, proving what is good, clinging to what is good, following after what is good. You and I, we need to make sure that we are embracing the goodness of God, because evil will continue to lose its grip the more and more that we cling to what is good. I'm still looking to see if I can find that verse, but I'm not finding it right now. So I apologize. But today I want to encourage you. Let's mature a little bit in our understanding of life and say, you know what? It is worth it to pay the price up front, to do what is right, rather than have to go back later, undo the bad choices that we made because we chose what was convenient instead of what was good. And then there were consequences, there were other people who were wounded because we made an incorrect choice. So, Father, today we come to you and we pray that you would manifest the fruit of the Spirit of goodness inside of us. God, I pray that we would not just be ready to embrace everything that comes down the pike, but, Lord, we would look to your word and we would see the character of God and we would be able to identify that which is good and perfect and in the acceptable will of God. Lord, I pray that those who are going through trying times right now, Lord, that they would be on a passionate and persistent pursuit of the goodness of God in their lives so that others would be able to see it, that others would imitate it, and Lord, any evil plan would come to naught because of your good. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.